You are listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. This talk was given at 2007 Frankfurt Avenue. For more information, check out circleofhope.net or join us in person on Sunday evenings at 5 and 7 p.m.
Last year, I lost a lot of friends, and I lost a lot of people died in my life, and I lost a lot of friends who didn't die, and I also, you know, people moved on from me. And also I had experiences where I moved on from others. Experienced a lot of loss. The hardest part for me in those moments isn't even just the loss. It's the sustained conflict. Relationships and webs of relationships that are strained for a long period of time. And it seems like people either can't or won't make some kind of peace. And for me, it's particularly difficult because it's completely against my ethos. It's completely against what I think the good story of Jesus offers. On a personal level, enduring sustained conflict, that's where I'm more inclined to, if you can imagine for a second, a DJ console on the far right on the fader. That's the shaming messages. Those are the things that I tell myself when I'm afraid or if I have this sustained conflict. When I'm going through that, it's real easy to just turn that up. You know what I'm saying? The other side where I have turned down, these are the good experiences. This is the good of creation. This is the good that the Holy Spirit's doing. So far, are you relating? You've experienced something like that. During sustained conflict, that's when I remember the most acutely that I'm alone. And not everybody experiences shame like that. Or experiences this sense of defectiveness that alienates you. But we each have our own little flavor to it. It reinforces shame, you know, that sense of defectiveness at some level. One of the things that Jesus demonstrates to us during Lent, this is the 6 weeks plus preparing for Easter, which is in 2 weeks. When he goes to the wilderness, like last week, he's teaching us how to remember. This is why visuals are cool, because you can see the play on words real clearly. Remembering the body is coming back together. This is the Lenten journey that we're invited into. Okay, loss, this is the DJ console. This is the SR2, right? We all know that. Shame, we've covered. Unresolved conflict, this is what it looks like from my vantage point. If you were to just ask an internet search, this is the pop culture reference that I hope you can appreciate. You know, what heals shame? How can you heal shame? You get a lot of different stuff. Compassion, being nice to people, being nice to yourself, letting go of stuff. Psychology today has stuff. Every pop psychologist speaks to shame. And if you've not been familiar with the work of Brené Brown, I suggest you, if shame is seeming like something you want to do some work with, her work particularly is about shame and about courage and all this good stuff. But Jesus, I think, offers remembering. And says remembering can heal shame, and remembering can heal shame. That's what the point I'm trying to get at tonight. But Jesus also helps make new memories with people. The Holy Spirit helps us experience transformation and can actually unhinge us from the shame cycle of shaming messages come in. We say, I'll try harder, and then keep going. Shaming messages come in, I'll try harder. And just kind of do that over and over and over and over. When we have this encounter with Jesus, we break free from that at some level and can experience actually cutting new neural pathways, stuff about the brain, I don't know, but I know a little bit about the spiritual stuff, which has to do with experiencing life in abundance, which is what Jesus is offering. So I would like to try something new, getting out of our learning and experiencing pattern that we're even typically in here. If you're not familiar with that, this is kind of how it is normally, and then anybody can add something afterwards. But let's try a community reading of the voice. Community readings are opportunities to experience and understand the story in a new way, and in a good way, I hope. But I do need a few volunteers to really make this happen. But just to be clear, I need like 5 people that are prepared in their hearts to have some fun. They need to be able to read and have a projective voice. They need to be able to have like a voice that people can hear in a room. So it's a little bit of boldness. And I'll give you motivation and all that stuff. But is there anybody that would help me with this project? Robbie, Ada and Lily, Allison and Lauren. Is that 5? Come on up, please, and let us snap for them. Okay, so as you're just feeling out your location in your place, I will attempt to be the director of this community reading. So I will go over here, and the rest of you are gonna see this is the front, right? So you're gonna experience things that everybody can see you. That's what you're going for. You don't wanna give them your back, right? This is acting. You're on stage. This is going to be a little bit dramatic, a little bit of theater. So some of you are more trained than others, and that's all right. We understand that they're not professionals, right? They're just volunteered, right? Let's hit them with some snaps one more time. Beautiful. So this is what we're going to do. Carl Jung also just lays out for us that shame is a soul-eating emotion. We're going to, at some level, get you to embody even the shame of the person that you're playing. And we're looking for that. We're looking for how you express that. And we're wondering about how we relate to the different people and the different things that you say and the things that you do. But this is a project that Thomas Nelson headed up in 2012, The Voice. It's the New Testament that's written like a play. To my knowledge, it's never been performed quite like this in Circle of Hope before. But it is starring Jesus, which will be the formerly blind dude, the disciples, the Pharisees, and the parents. Does anyone have a request? Who do you want to be, Ada? You're Jesus. Good. Lily, why don't you be the Pharisees? Think you can handle it? The disciples, Robbie? Let's go. The parents. And the formerly blind dude. So to make this easier, I have props from my life for you, and I want to offer you a bit of motivation. How are you doing? Are you hanging so far? Somebody else wanted to be in this and they didn't get to? I'm sorry. Stick around for 7 and talk to me. We'll get you in. So for Jesus, one of the things that you're practicing is asking better questions. So that's why the water bottle is your prop. You offer the living water. For the formerly blind dude, Lauren, you've experienced incredible transformation. Physically, socially, spiritually, you're seeing the world through a different lens. You will attempt to use shades at some level. You don't have to wear them on your eyes if you don't want to, but it also challenges our notion in the United States about ability and disability and limits of what you can, what technology helps you to be more human in some ways. Shades, simple as that. Who else we got here? The parents. Allison, please, we need you. The parents will symbolic parent carries a fanny pack around. This one, if you could just, you could wear it, you can hold it, it's symbolic for parenting. You'll remember that Allison's the parent. For the disciples, you have a notebook because you're a learner and you're a sketcher and a drawer of things, and that's symbolically. And the Pharisees get a clipboard because you're watching out and you're ready to take some notes and stuff. Also starring in smaller letters, the townspeople, some others, and of course, other Pharisees, and I'll play them as a narrator. And this is also introducing John the Beloved, who is narrating, playing the storyteller. How are we doing? You want out? Anybody? This is your chance. Okay. Great. So This is John chapter 9. It's one of the most epic chapters in the New Testament. It's huge. The experience we had 2 weeks ago, we even talked about Jesus encountering this person, the disciples having this who sinned kind of thing. And Jesus sort of does some work, but it's long. So let's see if reading it together can help. One more snap round for these actors. Thank you for attempting this. As you go, if you want to put some embodiment into it, that's up to you. Your expression, and this crowd is going to be a little bit more, can we try to be like an active participant together? So when somebody says something that you like, snap it up. Somebody says something, throw a boo out there. This is still Philly, right? Boom. Give up some boos, and then, some aw or ah or whatever, but this is a thing that we're going to do together. It'll be more fun if we experience something together, so your body language or movement and all that stuff is relevant. Sound good so far? Here we go. Let's go for it. And then after this, we're going to discuss. John and many people in his community are Jews. the son of Abraham. Jesus' criticism of certain Jewish leaders is not a criticism of a whole people. He's not stereotyping or making generalizations. The Jews he remembers in this passage are a corrupt group of power brokers who conspire against Jesus with the Romans to have him crucified, and who later have John's own followers expelled from the synagogue. Their behavior may be compared to the behavior of those Israelites condemned by the Old Testament prophets. Prophets have the duty, Jeremiah said, a fire in his bones, to speak for God and condemn hypocrisy and unbelief wherever it is found, especially when it's found so close to home. That's what John's doing when recalling this event. While walking along the road, Jesus saw a dude who was born blind since his birth.
Teacher, who sinned? Who was responsible for this man's blindness? Did he commit sins that merited this punishment? Or were they not his sins and the sins of his parents?
Neither. His blindness cannot be explained or traced to any particular person's sin. He is blind so the deeds of God may be put on display. While it is daytime, we must do the works of the one who sent me. But when the sun sets and night falls, this work is impossible. Whenever I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Thank you. After he said these things, Jesus spat on the ground, mixed saliva with dirt to form mud, which he smeared across the blind dude's eyes.
Go, wash yourself in the pool from Siloam.
Siloam, good. You got this.
Siloam means sent. And his name reminded us that his healing was sent by God.
The man was sent, washed, and returned to Jesus. Her eyes now alive with sight. The neighbors and others who knew them were confused to see a dude so closely resembling the blind beggar running around. Isn't this the man? That's the townspeople voice. Isn't this the man we see every day sitting and begging in the town streets? Others say, this is the same man. Others still, this cannot be him. But this fellow bears an uncanny resemblance to the blind dude.
I am the same man. It's me.
How have your lifeless eyes been opened?
A man named Jesus approached me and made mud from the ground and applied it to my eyes. He then said to me, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. I went and I washed, and suddenly I could see.
Where is this one who healed you?
I don't know.
The townspeople brought the formerly blind person to appear before the Pharisees. This is religious leaders, the same day that Jesus healed him, which happened to be on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees began questioning him, looking for some explanation for how she could now see.
He smeared mud on my eyes and washed them, and now I can see.
God can't possibly be behind this man, because he is breaking the rules of the Sabbath.
How can such a law-breaking scoundrel do something like this? The Pharisees were at odds with one another about Jesus and could not agree where the powers came from, him or the devil.
What do you say about this man, about the fact that he opened your eyes so you could see?
I have no doubt. This man is a prophet.
Some of the Jews suspected the whole situation was a charade, that this man was never blind. So they summoned the man's parents to testify about his condition. The parents are going to be very bashful in this scene. I'm setting the tone. Bashful. You familiar with the... Okay. Sorry. And we're back.
Is this man your son? Do you testify that he has been blind from birth? How therefore does he now see?
We can tell you this much. He is our son. He was born blind. But his new sight is a complete mystery to us. We do not know the man who opened his eyes. Why don't you ask our son? He is old enough to speak for himself.
The parents were a bit evasive because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. It had been rumored that anyone who spoke of Jesus, the Anointed One, would be expelled from the synagogue, so they deferred the thorny question to their son, and the Pharisees called on him for the second time.
Give God the credit. He's the one who healed you. All glory belongs to God. We are persuaded this man you speak of is a sinner who defies God.
This man is a sinner? I don't know. I'm not qualified to say. I only know one thing. I was blind, and now I can see.
What did he do to you? How did he give you sight?
Listen, I've already answered all these questions, and you don't like any of my answers. Do you really need me to say it all over again? Are you thinking about joining up with him and becoming a follower?
You are one of his followers, but we follow Moses. We have confided that God spoke to Moses, but this man you speak of is a mystery. We don't even know where he comes from.
Isn't it ironic? That you, our religious leaders, don't even know where he comes from yet? Yet he gave me sight. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does respond and work through those who worship him and do his will. No one has ever heard of someone opening the eyes of any person blind from birth. This man must come from God, otherwise this miracle would not be possible. Only God can do such things.
You were born under a cloud of sin. How can you, of all people, lecture us?
The religious leaders banished him from their presence. Jesus heard what had happened and sought out the man.
Do you believe in the Son of Man?
I want to believe, Lord. Who is he?
You have seen his face with your new eyes, and you are talking to him now.
Lord, I do believe.
And then she bowed down low to worship Jesus.
I have entered this world to announce a verdict that changes everything. Now those without sight may begin to see, and those who see may become blind.
Surely we are not blind, are we?
If you were blind, you would be without sin. But because you claim you can see, your sin is ever present.
Thank you so much. You could return your scripts or your props. Let's hear it for these excellent, excellent folks. This fanny pack feels pretty good, doesn't it? I love that fanny pack, but I'm glad to have it home, back again. That was beautiful. So my questions for us that I hope to just leave us with, and we'll sit in a moment of quiet. But first, I just want to acknowledge that this past week, there were a bunch of experiences that got me into thinking about things in a new way. One of them was I took a personal retreat, which is a beautiful practice that I've done on and off for 15 years or something like that. And each time is a little bit different. And this time, one of the things that I was surprised by again was being alone, especially in creation, with God, helps reweave me, helps put me back together because I belong to a place. I belong to this big community of creation, belonging to God very intimately. And then even coming back, I feel a deep sense of belonging among you, among my family, among the community, among our friends, among the church. And that's a healthy place to help me, a healthy habit that helps me remember and be remembered by God. So my questions for you, what good have you experienced from God lately? Hold on to it. How is the Holy Spirit remembering us that you're part of? How are you being remembered? How can being remembered and remembering heal our shame? How can it touch those cycles and those messages when you feel those stressors coming on? But let's be quiet for a moment, and then we'll have some talk back if you want to. Holy One, thank you for the good that you're doing, that we can understand. Thank you for the good that we can experience. Continue to give us hope that there's more good that we don't understand yet, that we haven't imagined yet. Keep doing new things in our hearts and in our life together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to Circle of Hope's Sunday Meeting Podcast. If you want to talk about it or get connected to a cell, you can find one under our Connect dropdown at circleofhope.net.